The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, for the first 21 minutes, me, Adam, and Justin have some lovely conversation. We talk about James Brown, the sexiest man of all time. We talk about the true story behind the inspiration to the movie Rocky. By the way, Rocky, one of the greatest love stories ever told.
You say that.
You forget that, Adam? We talk about that. The local cast of characters that live and walk around the Mind Pump studio here.
They inspire me every day.
In San Jose. There's some characters around here. They're pretty great. We also talk about wearing the same thing every day. It seems like brilliant people like Dr. Dre, Mark Zuckerberg, Armani, Steve Jobs, and Sal DiStefano like to do this.
Yeah.
Then I mentioned Four Sigmatic, Raishi, and Chaga. Somebody asked us a question in this episode about feeling overwhelmed, and I do reference those products. You can get them at Four Sigmatic. That's foursigmatic.com/mindpump. And if you enter the code mindpump, you get 15% off. And then we get into the questions. The first question was, what are some of our favorite strategies for dealing with being or feeling overwhelmed? That's a crappy feeling. Then we talk about what the effects of digestive enzymes have on protein absorption and muscle gain. Should you supplement with digestive enzymes or should you just chew your food like an adult? Then we talk about whether or not we believe resistance training is sufficient to provide you with all of the endurance training needs you would get from cardio. Like, do you even need to do cardio or is that enough? Then the final question, what advice would we give to a very busy college student who just can't seem to find the time to work out and eat right? She's too busy with social media.
It's so dick, you can't say that.
That's what we think. And finally, this month, our promotion is massive. Pretty much enroll in anything, you'll get something for free. In this episode, we talk about Maps Anywhere. This is our Maps program that's programmed out expertly without any exercise equipment. So you can do the whole program without touching a dumbbell or a barbell. And believe me, you can make this workout very hard with our patent-pending AMPS sessions that we put in them. It's a great workout. Enroll in that, you'll get MAPS Prime for free. In fact, if you enroll in any MAPS program, you'll get MAPS Prime for free. But if you enroll in the Super Bundle, which is 1 year's worth of exercise programming, we'll give you Prime Pro for free. Again, pretty much enroll in any program, and you'll get something for free this month only. Find out about all of it at mindpumpmedia.com. I want to get us pumped up real quick. Hold on.
All right.
Another good song here.
Do something.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Yeah.
Like a sex machine, man.
Oh, oh yeah. Yeah.
Can I count it all?
Bam, 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 bam. Damn.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
God. Damn it.
Let me like tell you a sex something. Machine.
Everybody, you know what? He's easily the sexiest man ever.
Hoo-ha!
Ever. I'm not even into that kind of shit, but I'll tell you what, this
Are you
dude
serious?
This
fucking
dude
love.
Walks into a room and women just it's just orgasms.
Yeah.
Just yeah, just everything comes off. That is just some testosterone right there.
Right.
They don't
right.
make anybody like that
right,
anymore.
Right, dude. Right. Yeah, I saw like one of his last concerts too.
Did you really?
Yeah, God, yeah. I was up at the
did you really?
Villa Montavo. Yeah. He just did this like man, when was it?
You saw him at Montavo too?
Yeah.
Montavo's super intimate.
It was so rad. They did the whole thing with you know, taking his cape off and like he was dancing and it was fucking
Do you
epic.
Know how I got introduced to James Brown? Watching Rocky IV. That's the first time I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
And I watched Rocky IV. Yeah. where he fights the Russian.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I got introduced.
And
to
and
really?
That yeah. And there's that scene, right, where it's the Russian who's fighting what's his name? Apollo Creed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Apollo's retired.
And he comes down.
It's an exhibition fight, and freaking James Brown is singing. Yeah. You know,
do you guys have you tell me you guys have seen the Netflix?
He's one of my favorites.
Tell me you have seen the Netflix series or show on who the real Rocky is.
Oh, well, I know who the real Rocky is, but I didn't see the show.
Oh, my God.
The Brockton Bleeder.
Dude,
I know all about that story.
You need to watch. It's a
Netflix. That's the story that motivated
Sly. It's a Netflix really? Documentary.
Fuck off. What's it called?
You need to. Oh, God, I got to look this up now.
Oh, man.
Katrina and I will watch it. What a compelling
story.
We're
watching it today.
So
we have to watch it today.
Yeah, you have to watch
it. The Brockton Bleeder was his nickname.
And tell me what you know, because I want to know.
So I can't, okay, for whatever reason.
I thought it was Rocky Marciano.
No.
So I can't, I'll remember his name in a second. It'll come up to me. But he, Muhammad Ali.
Oh my God, I want to watch it with you.
Fought this guy, and it was an exhibition fight.
Uh-huh.
So it was for fun or whatever. And this guy comes out, and I don't remember what round it was in, the second round or one of the early rounds. He just catches Ali with a punch and knocks him on the ground. So after that, Ali was like, I'm going to punish this man. I'm going to put him out. Like, this guy's trying to embarrass me.
Yeah.
And he proceeds to put a beating down on this man for fucking like 12 rounds. Like, beats his ass.
Yeah.
But this guy won't go down.
Yeah.
He just takes the beating.
He went the distance with
and
the
whole crowd is just falling in love with this guy who's taking this beating. And Muhammad Ali, afterwards, when they interviewed him, he's like, I have never put a beating on a man like I put on that guy. And he would not go down, and he earned everybody's respect. Sylvester Stallone watched that fight and turned, and it that is what inspired the story for Rocky, which, by the way,
I didn't even know. That's awesome.
Great story. Sylvester Stallone, poor, has to sell his dog because he has no money. Literally sells Buttkiss, his dog in Rocky. That was his actual dog. Sells his dog and puts newspapers up on his windows in his little shitty apartment. Locks himself in there, and I think for 3 days didn't do anything but write Rocky, and then he finished it. And then, of course, he goes and tries to sell the script, but he said, if you buy the script, I have to play Rocky. And everybody said, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
But they offered him like, I don't remember, like $300,000, like a tremendous amount of money. And he said, no, I have to be. So he stuck to his guns. The rest is history. It's a great story all the way around. Great story.
Well, they get into that and they kind of tell it from a different angle right there. But oh my God, you got to watch. I'm trying to find the name right now. It was the Brockton Brawler, right? Isn't that what it was?
No, the Bleeder.
Bleeder.
They called him the Bleeder because every fight he got into, he wouldn't get.
So it was the Brockton Bleeder?
Something like that. Brockton or Brockton?
Brockton. Isn't that that's from where he's at? Brockton, right?
I don't know what his name was. God, maybe I'm wrong.
You're close to. You're close.
It was something like that, right?
I'm gonna find it, man. We'll get it in the show notes. So yeah. I will because
I'm finding it right now.
Because
Chuck Wepner,
yes,
Chuck Wepner, that's the guy.
And now look up the Netflix.
1975
series.
Was the fight, he fell seconds short of the 15 rounds. He went almost 15 rounds with one of the greatest boxers of all time.
Okay, give me spell his last name.
Wepner.
Wepner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it right now for everybody.
Fucking great story, dude. I recommend people read up on that whole story of how Rocky was...
No, watch it. You don't have to read. Just go right. Watch it. The series has done so well. It will break your heart, though. It'll break your freaking heart.
Yeah, I don't remember what the Bayonne Bleeder. The Bayonne Bleeder.
Bayonne Bleeder.
Yeah, Bayonne Bleeder.
I'll be watching this.
How fucked up is that? That's your nickname.
Yeah.
You know? And in this corner.
So tough.
Yeah. Iron Mike Tyson. And in this corner, you know, concussion.
The menstruator.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah. Kirk concussion.
How did I get that nickname?
Smith, you know?
Yeah.
Gets knocked out easily.
The eye oozer.
Yeah. Like, why? Gosh, shit. I don't know why.
Glass jaw Joe coming into the fight. Dang.
Oh, man.
So you guys want to hear some science?
Science and technology with Sal DiStefano.
It's fun. You'll see. So trip off this. When you guys eat asparagus... Which I know you guys do because it's good for you.
You can smell it in your pee.
Because it's good for you. It's got fiber. It's green.
Mm-hmm.
Adam likes it because it's in the shape of a penis, kind of. He likes those phallic symbols.
Yes.
What happens right after when you go urinate?
Smells.
You smell it, right? So trip off this. I thought, now some people, they don't smell, the, you know, they don't have that smell. And I thought it was because genetically speaking, some people just don't
have
produce
chemistry.
They don't produce the whatever the
chemical
agent is,
that probably pairs that, with that, that makes it smell that
and
way.
And the smell, I believe the name
is
of the
it
thing.
An ammonia kind of smell?
No, it's actually called like asparagosilis or something. It's like named after asparagus.
Oh my God.
It's some compound that makes your pee smell. But so here's what tripped me out. It's not just that. They think that there may be a genetic variant where people, their pee still smells. They just can't smell it. So it's not that their pee doesn't smell.
They just don't smell it.
It's that they maybe can't smell it. There was actually a study.
Whoa, back up here. So you mean to tell me that they're...
This is actually a little bit of a debate. I've been reading up on this because I was at a party.
So that the idea is that your pee smells all the time, but because you had the asparagus, something in the asparagus allows you to smell it now?
No. Everybody's,
some people can't smell that it smells.
Yeah, so right? So whatever's in your pee that makes it smell.
Oh, in other words, everybody's pee smells.
Everybody knows it stinks.
But some people don't.
Some people just can't smell it. And then there's another theory, and they've done studies on this, which is funny, that some people's pee maybe not smell.
Why does that require a study? I feel like all I need is someone like you to deny that your pee doesn't smell like asparagus, and then I come smell your pee when you're peeing.
No, you're wrong.
Study.
Science over. Yeah.
Does your guys' pee smell when you eat asparagus?
Yes.
Yeah,
everybody. I haven't met anybody whose pee doesn't smell.
I feel like this same study could apply to these people with bad breath that like talk to you and they don't realize it. And you're like, listen, you fucking stink.
I can. Can you ever smell your own breath though?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Absolutely. You can smell your own breath.
I can taste.
Haven't you ever to your hand?
That doesn't work.
Oh my God, it works.
Does it really?
Yes.
Because then you just smell your hand.
You gotta check yourself.
What if you wash your hands and it smells like whatever.
Smell your hand.
Maybe you're just used to your own brand.
Smell your hand first, make sure it doesn't smell like shit, and then blow in it. Because if your hand smells like dog shit and then you blow in your hand, you will smell dog shit.
I love telling people their hand smells and then I smack them. Yeah. Because it's like right here.
You're just a mean fucking
guy. You're just
guy.
A child, dude. You're just a fucking child.
He's a big bully.
Yeah.
All the time.
I can't help it.
Who does that?
Huh? Well, you're kind you're of a bully, too. You're not as bad as Justin. You're like different levels of bullying.
I'm not a bully. I say what's on my mind.
You yanking me with the band until I fell.
Yeah. That was funny.
Is a it that was says funny. You are a bully.
That was real funny.
It was actually hilarious.
Yeah. I think
it was funny.
I got
to
ask Taylor.
And then that night, I lit a couple like voodoo calendar candles, excuse me, to get some karma to come back. And then weird that you fell off the ladder the other day.
Wow.
I keep saying that. He's going to think I pushed him off.
Do you see Taylor starting to make a series on the Mind Pump Media Instagram of like the people that come in and do their makeup and stuff on the mirror windows?
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times when he's working, people are coming over and somebody, did you see the one he did yesterday?
I'm waiting for someone to like scratch their junk or something in front of the, because we have,
I know.
The listeners don't know, our media facility it's like a storefront on a very busy part of San Jose, and we didn't plan it that way because we're not a public, nobody's coming in off the streets to come into our business. It's all just for media.
That's the reason why we put mirror tent windows.
And so, but with the space was perfect, so we're like, fuck it, let's get it, and then we put mirror tint because we don't want people to know that we're here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Getting people like picking their nose and scratching themselves and
doing all kinds of weird stuff.
It's like, come on, you don't think somebody's on the other side of this?
Have you guys seen the we have like, there's like characters that I see every single day that are around here.
Yeah.
So I'll name one. Let's see if you guys can name some others.
Okay.
There's the old dude that rides his bike with the worst posture I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
You haven't seen him?
He's like ready to like snap in half. He's bent over.
He's at least, I'm not exaggerating, 175 years old. He's super old.
That's what his posture says.
Super old. He's right now, he's probably closer to like 90. He's very old guy, so you know, kudos to him for being active. He rides a bike back and forth at least twice every day, and he's extremely hunched over on his bike, and he just cruises by at a decent speed.
And then there's my favorite, which is the homeless guy with our zero fuck shirt he found in the trash. I just love it so much.
It's
like, it's so appropriate. You know what I mean? Just like walking around zero fucks.
He's actually wearing a Mind Pump shirt.
Yes.
Where'd he get it?
Yeah, we threw out a bunch of shit.
Did we?
Yes. Like,
oh, no.
We were trying to clean the closet, and so I think he just like found it in the dumpster.
Oh, that's how he got it? I was wondering. I thought maybe
that's my theory.
Well,
I thought maybe Goodwill or something like that had. I mean, come on, it's a shirt we've had around for a couple of years.
I've done a couple Goodwill runs already.
I'm sure there's some zero fuck shirts in there.
Maybe, you know, but like more than likely, I think
he went to our dumpster because he's local.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
He's a homeless
now.
Guy.
Yeah. Is he the same guy that chills on the lawn over at the church?
Maybe they. Man, when we went over there to shoot a couple videos for Axon, I remember they got so mad at me. Like, I was like
the homeless dudes?
Interrupting their like environment, you know? Yeah, they got like really mad.
They've got it's actually, I almost got, I told you guys a story. I almost got in a freaking rumble. And when I say rumble, I mean, like, there was one homeless dude that I had to take his boxed wine to get him to move because he was. We're not moving.
Right, he was like sitting on your backpack, right?
Yeah, on our backs. But then he went and called the artillery. Like, he like all of a sudden he comes back and
his homies come by.
There's a good like seven homeless dudes, and I didn't feel threatened because they're all you know obviously they're all malnourished, but they you don't want to tussle with a you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't.
You know, we were debating who's more of a prick, you or I, and I feel like.
You just stepped up. Yeah.
You've been in a fight or almost in a fight with two homeless people. Yeah. I've never fought any homeless people, bro. That's fucked up.
I didn't get in a fight, it's but I had to defend. I mean,
I think that pushes you over as the bigger PR. Dick.
I wasn't picking a fight, dude. I was literally defending.
Who fights a homeless guy?
Listen, I'm giving them shirts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Zero fucks. Yeah. Anybody else you guys recognize from the neighborhood that you see?
I just see lots of CrossFitters running around in circles carrying stuff over their head with tall socks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of that.
That's because we got this hairstylist too. That those are the ones that come and do their makeup and the hair stuff. Like this guy.
Oh, because there's a salon.
There's a salon above us. So.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Oh,
now.
Oh yeah, forget that we have an upstairs.
That he's real, you know, making sure like every little detail on his face is appropriate.
The feminine Asian guy.
A bit feminine.
That's okay. There's a regular guy.
He's a regular.
I haven't seen him.
There's a Asian guy that's probably in his early 20s, and he
really takes care of himself.
He's got. Feminine mannerisms, and he checks his hair and his face every day in there.
Yeah. In our mirror? Yeah. In our windows?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I haven't seen him.
Yeah. Mm. He's one of my favorites because he gets really expressive.
We've got a very eclectic neighborhood because then you've got down the street, the restaurant that we go all the time, Luna.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. They've got their regular characters. Then the owner over there, very, very pretty older woman. She might be
in love with her.
Might be trying to talk to our marketing dude.
Might have a thing.
We could totally put him on blast because he never listens.
I know.
Hey Taylor, that's what you get for not fucking listening.
Bro, you want to be part of this company? Yeah. Huh?
Let me just give you some advice, bro. She'll wreck you. Okay? Yeah. You be careful.
She's got pull that long
wisdom on you.
And then there's
grab him by his man bun. She'll grab you by your
drag
man bun.
Drag him by the
son.
Man bun. Yeah. Drag him across the floor.
After she's done, give him a little bottle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Braid it.
Did you see the picture that Justin did of Taylor? Because I told him when he was shooting a couple of days ago, he had a big beanie on and he had the capri pants on with the
and then the white. Kind of shirt.
Yeah, like just a Hanes plain white shirt or whatever.
Super Hollywood guy.
Yeah, I was like, oh God, look at how artistic he looks today. Get a picture. Justin took a picture of him and then he put him holding a...
Bro, you should connect.
I superimposed the most perfect little
It looks like he was holding it. Yeah. I bet you most people thought he was holding that.
I
looks like he's holding it.
Yeah. You need to connect him with your boy Wally. The two of them could trade fashion.
Right?
Secrets.
Marriage made in heaven right there.
Yeah, you can start wearing
you wear some skirts and some... You know, other bullshit.
That's a thing, I guess, huh? Or is it just Wally that wears
it? It's not a thing.
It's not. Just
it's
to get
definitely
angry.
Not a thing.
Well, what is a thing is we are, as in the three of us, are out of style and everything.
We are out of style, yeah. I'm in classic style mode, bro.
Hence the fucking first t-shirt, zero fucks.
So, so what I'm doing now is I'm trying to...
Aggressive.
I have a new style strategy.
Hmm.
I'm gonna.
Oh my God! I want to hear this.
Yeah, please.
Well, let me tell you guys.
I can't wait.
First of all, I'm fit and healthy, so I plan on living at least till 80. Hopefully, I can live till 80. I'm gonna wear the same shit until then. At some point, it's going to be in style. So there will be a period of time when I'm in style.
There is a good chance.
That's
of that.
That's my gamble.
There is a good chance of that.
It would suck if
the
it never did.
The numbers will
though.
Go in your direction.
You know how
sure.
mad I'll be when I'm 80 and I'll
yeah,
be
but
like,
the problem
fuck,
is,
this never
guys
was in
like
style.
You, guys like you, what ends up happening is you get older, your memory, right? You start to get these gaps where then you start blending something that was cool in the 80s, something that was cool in the 90s, and then you're
yeah,
so
you're all over the place.
Yeah, your shit might come around, but only half your outfit's put together yeah. because it's like, okay, well.
Because it still has to be organized yeah, to that exactly. one style, yeah, and you don't even have that.
Yes. Yeah, it's like this. You're, you like, look like the 80s, the 80s raped yeah. the 90s whoa. And then shit wow. out the, yeah. the 2000s. Like,
oh my God.
Raped and shit. Like, we put that together.
It wasn't even consensual. Yeah. It was that's horrible.
Yeah. It was like,
well, I think so. When I watched
bad nightmare.
When I watched that series, the fuck, I can't remember the name, but the one with Dr. Dre on Netflix, the Untouchables.
Defiant Ones.
Defiant Ones. Thank you. Yeah. Did you guys know Dr. Dre? Well, you watched it. Dr. Yeah. Dre, he wears the same thing every day. Same shirt.
I mean, he wears
same
the same
pants.
Shoes, but he,
no, no, no.
Okay,
he said on it.
Thing.
Hold on, okay. hold on. No. He said on the fucking
I
documentary.
Too.
Okay,
I wear the same thing every day. That's what I'm gonna do.
He's
I want to
like for the most part, I wear
I'm gonna
the
get
same
a,
stuff.
That's all I want to do. I want to wear one fucking same pair of jeans that look cool, but I'll own like 15 of them. Same shirt, same shoes. Mm. Looks cool. Just wear them every fucking day. Don't have to worry about anything.
And you know
with
what? That's gonna work okay. if you're Dr. Dre or if you're Steve Jobs.
Well, and it can work.
Oh yeah, Steve Jobs.
Okay,
did it too.
And
it's all these smart people.
And it can, dude. Don't let him fool you either. Now, if you looked
no,
at
he's
his shoes, his socks, yeah. the pants he's wearing, the belt he's got with it, like that, he's got the whole ensemble though. Don't yeah, just because it's
he
all black.
Figured it out.
So go ahead, bro. Yeah. Be it's easy to pick all one color. You can do that, but he's still in style. Like, yeah, still, yeah. Don't let him fool you. There's still thought put into the suit, the shoes, the socks. The jeans, like I guarantee.
Don't think for a second the fucking first million I make, I'm gonna hire a stylist and be like, I want one outfit.
Your wardrobe is gonna be all the same shit
that I can wear all the time.
I guarantee that.
Imagine that if you wake up,
that black t-shirt, pants, shoes, that get up he's wearing, I guarantee from everything from his wrist game, his shirt, that's a $20,000 to $40,000 ensemble.
Yeah,
between the clothes, the watch, all his whole ensemble is 20. So there's nothing simple about that all black outfit.
I'm all for that. Like, yeah, you just got to figure out what that one superpower
you know
like,
what you
look
do?
Is.
Right.
Wow. You know, you haven't figured it out yet.
God, there's all these. Look, I just Googled it, and it's like, here's an article: the men powerful enough to wear the same thing every day. See, it's like Ice Cube wears the same fucking thing every day. Mark Zuckerberg wears the same shit every day.
Come on. Zuckerberg? You're going to try to look like Zuckerberg?
Armani wears the same thing every day?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm reading the list of people.
It probably costs like 50 grand.
What's it look like, though?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what it looks. It's the same thing.
Well, if it's all in
stuff. No, you have to give a fuck what it looks like.
Okay, here's what he wears. Here's what Armani. Is anybody going to argue with me right now that Armani doesn't know what the fuck he's doing? Anybody? Okay, that's what I thought. Navy blue silk t-shirt. Cashmere sweater. I don't give a fuck, bro.
Cashmere.
Hold on. Navy blue drawstring pants and white sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Every day. That's what I'm going to do for
now.
And he
goes swimming in that.
I'm going to hire a stylist to do one outfit for
you. All brought to you by Armani.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be
it's like half branding here.
I kind of do wear the same thing every day, though. Let's be honest. I'm almost there.
Close.
I'm halfway there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you look sharp.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think you look sharp.
Thank you. Yeah.
Doug, bring on the sharp bird, please.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
All right, our first question is from Larry Jansen. What are your favorite strategies for dealing with being overwhelmed, both physically and in business life?
Overwhelmed, like you're taking too much on.
You just feel like just, there's just too much shit going on. Yeah. You know what's funny about this is every single time I've been in a situation like this, because it's happened to me in quite a bit in the recent past because I've dealt with a divorce, moving to a new place, organizing kids' schedule, building a business, and it's just like you feel like you can't, just too much shit. I can't handle everything. And then what happens is you feel like shutting down, like I'm just not doing anything. And this sounds very simple, but no joke, it works. You just start writing a list. It actually sounds stupid, and I was super reluctant to do it because it sounds so simple. But when I did it, when I wrote a list out of the important things I need to do, mm-hmm. and then just went down the list check by check,
you get a feeling of like relaxation almost, because
that's
you
all it
simplified
is.
It. Yeah,
yeah, the feeling of being overwhelmed many times just comes from the sense of being unorganized. It's not necessarily that there's, yes, you have a lot to do, but the fact that you don't know what to do first and how to do it is what gives you that overwhelmed
feeling. Well, I think you guys also brought up the minimalism, like kind of documentary a long time ago. And me and my wife actually watched that a couple weeks ago, and it really did sort of resonate and like strike a chord with me as far as like just the organization of my house, the organization of my clothes, you know, the certain things that I'm into, and then really trying to hone in on, you know, what its purpose is in my everyday process. Because if there's too many things, and I just even visually, if I'm seeing too many things that are like bring this kind of like chaotic feeling, you know, why not just get rid of it, you know, just simplify everything. And then once I started doing that, because I mean, I was doing, you know, I was trying to launch this product, I was trying to, you know, trying to do all this stuff for Mind Pump and the business, and then, you know, the kids and schedule and soccer and like taking all these things on. And it's just like, man, yeah, you just feel that. You feel all that just slowly creep up. And so, yeah, just taking massive action to, you know, simplify things and prioritize things for sure. Mm-hmm.
I smoke a joint and go to the movies.
There you go.
So, and you know,
best advice.
He had a method.
Well, let's unpack that, right? I think you're both right. I think that the feeling of being overwhelmed most times is just your perception, right? It's that you've got so much on your mind, or you've got this huge project that just feels overwhelming, and that's your perception of it. Is it really? Is it the end of life? Is it a big? And so it's
a state change.
You laugh and you say that, but I'm dead serious. Like, this is something that happens in my life on a fairly regular basis. So I'm not smoking, getting high, and going to the movies every day, obviously. But I mean, a true feeling of overwhelm, which 100% I can relate to this feeling. And I think everybody in this room has felt that before. If you're a grinder, a go-getter, like somebody who's after doing a lot in your life, like it's inevitable. This feeling will probably happen. But when it does, I know that that's because I'm so attached to whatever it is that I'm hyper-focused on that's causing this feeling of being overwhelmed. And so literally, I'll be overwhelmed with work. I'll have all this stress that's going on. If it gets to that point where I actually think it's overwhelming and I feel that, which is rare but does happen, I would say probably 4 to 6 times a year for me. And when that happens, I literally stop in my day. It could be a Tuesday at noon, and I will literally stop working, stop whatever is making me feel overwhelmed. I'll go smoke a joint. I'll go watch a movie all by myself at the theater. And what that is, if you unpack it and you really think about why that's like magical for me, is it allows me to detach from this thing that is causing this or making me feel overwhelmed, and it gives me a new perspective on things. And I love to watch a movie. So maybe it's not a movie for you. And maybe you don't smoke weed. So I'm not advocating smoking weed. Those two things allow me to detach from everything else. I like to be entertained by something that doesn't make me have to think all the time, where I'm constantly reading, I'm constantly watching documentaries, I'm constantly doing business stuff, I'm constantly grinding and working. So watching a mindless comedy or a movie that doesn't make my brain turn a million miles an hour causes me to really detach from that, and it gives me perspective on other things. And I normally walk out of the movie laughing and enjoying and realizing, oh my God, I just had 2 hours of not thinking about that stuff. It's really not that big of a deal. I'm allowing this thing to make me feel overwhelmed. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I mean, the thing you want to consider with the feeling of being overwhelmed is that it is a symptom of anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's a feeling. So things that can reduce anxiety can help quite a bit with the feeling of being overwhelmed. Like Adam's saying, like for him, he found something that works that gets him to feel you know, reduce that sense of anxiety. And then, because if you've ever suffered from any type of anxiety, which if you're human, you have, everybody has, you know that you're far less effective. Mm-hmm. So if you have 15 things you need to do today, but you feel anxious about it, which translates into feeling overwhelmed, you become very inefficient at doing those things, and you can't get anything done. You tend to freeze up. You tend to not do anything. And then you go to the next day and out piles onto the next day. So techniques to reduce anxiety are definitely a good part of the process. Something I've recently been using quite a bit is the mushroom reishi. Reishi does produce a calming effect in the body, both acutely and chronically. In other words, if you use it on a regular basis, there seems to be this cumulative effect where it just starts to work better and better. But you also get an acute effect. If you were to take reishi mushroom now and you're feeling anxious, you're likely to feel a little bit of relief. Passion flower is something else that you can use. Chaga is another mushroom that I've used or recommended now to clients. We have a good sponsorship with Four Sigmatic now, so now I'm recommending more of those, mainly because I see how effective they are and I'm familiar with the science. But
yeah, my wife's been using the reishi, and that's been helping. Because we've both kind of gone through these spells together of, you know, like going through this anxiety, and like it got to a point where it became really physical, you know. And like I actually went to the hospital, like she like had, a physical reaction. And, this is something that quickly realized, like, we were just letting this happen based off of, like, our day-to-day, like, habits. And we were just taking everything on, taking all this kind of stress on. And, so she's been working with that. I've been working with, my posture and the way that I'm just focused more on breathing and just opening myself. So I've noticed, with just the way that you carry yourself, a lot of times, even with the posture, if you're not getting a nice deep breath throughout your day, that compiles and over the next day and the next day, all of a sudden now I'm really tensing up, and I'm keeping a lot of this needless stress, and it's turning into anxiety, which bleeds into like the overwhelm feeling. Like all of a sudden now, like all these things matter so much, and I'm taking on this this feeling towards it.
And I like what you said about the minimalist attitude. Like there's so much shit that we do and have that contributes to our anxiety that we don't need to have. It is, you know how wonderful of a feeling it is to come to terms with the fact that you don't need a lot of shit and you end up not getting a lot of shit. And now you're just like, whoa, I feel like so much better. I realized that I didn't need that stuff. I have less clutter, less things to worry about. Things are more simple. And I'm focusing on the things that are important. Yeah. But at the end of the day, there may be some root causes to this feeling of anxiety and overwhelmed. And that's just that you're fucking busy. There's a lot of shit going on. The organizing tasks and, putting them in order of, priority and when to finish them and how to do them is a fantastic method of making yourself more efficient. You go to any company, any business, and this is one of the basic things that they do. You can't just go somewhere and say, okay, here's what we're going to accomplish.
Do you think that could be a bad thing too, though? Kind of like tracking your food with like what we talk about, like, there's pluses and minuses to that, right? Do you think that becoming over organized?
Oh yeah,
so
it's called OCD.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
And I think you have to preface that a bit or give that warning with that is that, hey, getting more organized can help this situation, but it could also make it worse.
Yeah, you could become OCD about everything to the point where then that creates anxiety for you. Absolutely. But like, when I have my kids, like I know what time I wake up. I know the order of things that I do in the morning so that they have their lunch ready so that I can check their homework. So I have time to do my meditation, my workout. Then I know what time I wake them up, walk them to school. And it's just the structure that I create that it alleviates a lot of that sense of anxiety and overwhelm in the morning because I know the times I'm going to accomplish these different things and what I'm going to do. And it's like no problem. Like everything's thought out and processed. And so it really does make a big difference. The hard thing is when you're in this state of mind, when you're sitting there feeling like, fuck, I can't finish everything. There's too much stuff to do. And someone comes to you and says, hey, make a list. Like you want to punch them in the face. Like that was my response. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't want to do that. And it's like, you have to understand that your reluctance to do that is just a reflection of your anxiety. Literally just relax with that whole, like, I don't want to make a list and just write a list. Cause almost like you don't want to see what's on the list. I know that's how I feel. Like, I don't want to write a list because then I got to look at all the shit that I got to do. It's almost like I'm trying to run away from it, which you can't. So, just calm yourself down, write that thing out, write that list out, start knocking things off your list. After about two or three of them, man, you'll feel so much better.
Right as rain.
Quick commercial break, you guys. We keep getting asked all the time, how can I support the Mind Pump family? Here's one of the best ways you guys can. You guys love that Chimera coffee that we have. Chimera coffee with a K. You go to chimeracoffee.com, put in the discount code Mind Pump for 10% at the checkout. If you guys have not tried Ben Greenfield's new bars out, they're fantastic. If you want some, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/naturebite, put in the code Mind Pump and get 10% off. Go check it out.
Next up is Ethan Hale, 33. What's the effect of digestive enzymes on protein absorption and muscle gain?
You pick this one, Adam?
Yeah. Yeah, the more protein that you eat, the more you're going to need. That's something that when you have somebody who's, this is why, you know, we talk about protein absorption with, you know, the oversaturating by consuming 200, 300, 400 grams of protein. No one really takes into account, too, like the digestive enzymes play a factor in this, and that's an important part of it. And if you're consuming so much meat, so much protein, and you're not getting enough foods that have enough digestive enzymes, you're also hindering that whole process too. And nobody really talks about this.
No, you are. And the one single thing you can do to optimize your digestive enzymes more than anything else naturally is to thoroughly chew your food. That right there will signal your, first of all, there's enzymes in your saliva which start to break down food. People don't realize that chewing your food is digesting your food. You have started the digestive process. If you don't chew your food properly, you're skipping a step. It would be like taking my food and skipping the stomach part and just going straight to
I don't think I would talk about this as much as I would now that we've experienced this personally.
It's a fucking game changer.
It was something that I never had thought ever to even try. Like, I'm going to try and eat a meal. In fact, I had a cousin of mine who's up in Seattle who messaged me that episode where we talked about that was like a game changer for her. She's like, I've never tried to eat food before without fluid. Like, it's so in our culture.
Yeah.
It's so in our culture to the point where how many times have you been pissed off at a restaurant because someone hasn't refilled your fucking soda or your drink fast enough?
Isn't that so crazy how the most simple things like that and like fasting and like, you know, just stepping away from food for a minute, it's like, it just seems like, no, that's too obvious. You know, like these are just small things, but they like have such massive impact when you implement them day after day.
Whoa, dude, it's crazy. And I don't eat every meal, just so you know, going forward, I don't eat every meal with no fluid. It's just, I did that. So it gave me a new perspective of how I was consuming my food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the takeaway for me. And so I think that is what I've been trying to teach and tell people. I'm not saying like, I don't tell people like, hey, don't ever have fluids and whatever. You know what I'm saying? When you're eating food, I say, try and eat a meal without it and pay attention to the way you chew.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Cause the fast food culture, I mean, we've been like trying to engineer this process to speed up and get back to work. You know, like everybody has this like massive hustle in their mentality with like their lunch breaks and all these kinds of things, and they're just, you know, scarfing it in as quick as possible.
It's a very when you really think about it, it is a very interesting, strange you know, poor connection to food and eating. And let me explain. If I, you know, let's say you're looking at a burger and you're like, fuck, I want to eat that burger so bad, it looks so delicious, and I say, hey, let me blend that burger up and inject it directly into your stomach so you can have it. Would you want to do that? No, because you didn't experience it, right? It's in your belly, but you didn't get to chew it and experience it. And yet...
you taste it for like a second.
And yet, what do people do when they eat something they really want to eat? They scarf it the fuck down. Yeah. Like, all they're trying to do is get it in their stomach as fast as possible. That is not a natural thing that we're doing. That is something that is learned and taught.
It's like a compulsion. Yeah.
It's a compulsion. Because, honestly, if you really want to enjoy your food... you chew it and you taste it because that's the part that you enjoy. It's not about getting it in your stomach as
quick
as possible.
Sal, don't you take a digestive enzyme?
No, I only so I have digestive enzymes that I will take with me on trips when I'm eating foods that contain gluten or some dairy, like lactase, for example. Lactase is the enzyme that breaks down lactose in dairy. And I am, not only am I do I have an issue with milk proteins, but I also don't break down lactose very well. So I'll take that, and some of the enzymes in there will help a little bit with gluten, which I tend to have a little bit of an issue with, although these days it seems like I can eat gluten, you know, a couple times a week and not have a problem because I've done...
So this is why I wanted to bring this question up too, because I knew that you did use that. And I do know that as far as supplementing with digestive enzymes, it typically is most beneficial for people that have like irritable bowel syndrome or have,
if you have
tummy issues like you.
If you have gut issues, if you have acid reflux, by the way, acid reflux and GERD and all that, it's not the result of too much acid. It's the result of having too little acid in your stomach. And you're also probably deficient or not producing enough enzymes. Again, if you look at studies, even people with heartburn, aside from eliminating certain foods that are triggers, chewing your food thoroughly solves that problem for a fucking big chunk of people with those problems.
Yeah,
same thing
with preaching to the choir over there.
And you know what's funny? Talking about that, like, if you had told me 5 years ago to do that, I would have said, no, it's not possible because then I'll choke on my food because I have this one big tonsil. Mm-hmm. That's bullshit. I don't do it anymore. I don't need fluid and I just chew
so
it.
Funny. It's such an argument I used to use because I totally had a problem like choking, like, and I didn't realize that like it was my, it was the amount of like, I just wouldn't chew enough. Like I would just eat and then just eat like big chunks and just swallow it. And then we'll try and wash it down. And the process was all about trying to like wash it down and pack it down in there.
Yeah.
Well, that then, it, you think about all of us went through that at one point. We were all trying to gain weight to get build.
Yeah,
and
that
big,
was the
right?
process, right?
And like when you think, I can recall many times shoveling shakes down. And, you know, I remember like having a, you know, 800 calorie protein shake while I had my meal and I would take a bite and wash it down.
Yep.
With the shake and like literally just swallow it all, not even really chew any of it.
I know.
So think
it's
about
so
what
ridiculous.
You're
ridiculous.
Right. So
it does have stick with
but
you.
But I know there's got to be younger guys and maybe even girls that are trying to build and add calories to their diet.
I would say unless you're on the extreme ends of the spectrum, even then I don't know if it's necessarily going to give you a benefit to supplement with digestive enzymes. See, here's the thing with digestive enzymes. We know what they do, right? They break down protein into amino acids so your body can now utilize the protein, whatever. So supplement companies take this next step and say, oh, this is going
to
make you utilize more protein more effectively
and
more efficiently.
So you can shovel more protein
in. For the most part, unless, again, you have issues with your gut, especially if you have bad issues like Crohn's disease or you've been diagnosed with really bad acid reflux, you're producing all the enzymes you need. Just eat properly and chew your food well, and you're going to have them all.
Well, and most don't.
Liver disease is another one.
Most protein shakes and stuff like that ain't put digestive enzymes.
Because it sounds cool,
right? No. I mean, like you're already getting what you need from probably the shakes and bars and the things.
What makes me laugh about that is that's probably a shake is probably what you would need the least amount of digestive enzymes, considering
that's already
it's so
pretty
easy
much
processed.
Yeah, it's already it's fluid. Yeah.
It's already chewed the fuck up.
They chewed it for you.
They chewed the hell out of it. So, I mean, that all liver disease. I think people with liver disease, age-related deficiencies in digestive enzymes, like those people might benefit, but otherwise, I think it's a
well. I will say though, I've had clients that I think are on the like kind of like year end where I've like just looked at their diet and looked at what kind of foods they were getting, and they just weren't getting a lot of foods that were rich in digestive enzyme, like bell peppers and different fruits and things like that. That they never really got that in their rotation, and yet their stomach always felt backed up or weird. And by me helping them just adding those foods into their diet, they felt relief there. So I do think if you're somebody, I don't think there's a need to supplement for it unless you have a specific issue like irritable bowel syndrome, or actually you've been diagnosed with tummy issues like Sal.
Another one you could look at too for digestion is, so a lot of people have issues with like we're talking about digestive issues, and they have too little, they produce too little acid. One of the things you can do, you can actually buy HCL supplement, which is I believe it's hydrochloric acid. If I'm not, betaine hydrochloride, which will increase the amount of hydrochloric acid in your stomach. So for some people, they can do this when they eat a lot of meat, because you'll see people with acid reflux. They'll say, "Oh my god, when I eat a lot of meat, I just get this really bad," you know, and it's because, again, they're not producing enough acid. They can supplement with this and it helps. Mike Salemi is the one that introduced me to this, and Paul Check talks about this as well, that this supplement may help some people. So just a little side note.
Next up is Glenn SPT. Do you guys believe that resistance training is sufficient for maintaining cardiovascular health, or that some sort of aerobic exercise should exist week to week? If so, how would you incorporate aerobic exercise into a MAPS program?
I do with a good diet.
Yeah, oh, totally.
If you eat well and you train and you phase and you have like our phase four of fucking MAPS screen in there occasionally, like you should. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I think you get plenty
of cardio in that phase.
Right.
You know what I love about resistance training is that you can if you know how to use weights properly, you can do anything with them. Mm-hmm. This is not true with other methods of exercise. Like, I'm not going to get good strength with cardiovascular activity. It'll be very, very, I'll get a little bit, but very difficult.
Yeah, a little bit like sprinting when you're running or something, but like even then, yeah, no. The gains are minimal.
I could take someone and I could take two groups of people and one group say, you know, and the goal is to improve cardiovascular endurance for a particular sport or activity. And on the one group over here, I say, okay, all you get to do is cardio. And then the other group, I said, all you get to do is use weights. And then I program the weights. I'll build way better cardio with the weight group by having them do things like circuits and, you know, high intensity interval type training with actually me and Adam filmed a whole series. It's getting edited right now on YouTube on that. So for cardiovascular health, you don't need to have extreme amounts of cardiovascular performance. For health, you just need to move.
Right.
Move every day. If you walk every single day and you stay active, you're done. Like that's what you have. Yeah. Now, if you want a little bit more endurance, you can definitely get that through programming your resistance training in a way that you're going to aim for endurance, like we said with circuits, or you can do some cardio. The way that I have people program cardio in their MAPS programs is typically first I tell them just to increase their knee. You know, non-exercise, activity. Thermogenesis, just being active.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they want to add cardio, I'll tell them, you know, no problem. 30 minutes, 3 days a week, just if you enjoy doing it for your health, get on a machine and go for it or go outside. And that's pretty much it. If you want to improve...
Yeah, that's just scheduled activity.
Yeah.
You know, that's all cardio is. Like, weights, to me, feels like a lot more specific, like to... You know, I have totally different ways to adapt, you know, to these types of loads that I'm placing on my body and my joints. And so there's just so much benefit to that, you know, when I'm going to grab something, lift something, like, you know, do strenuous activity. Like, I want to be strong, you know, and that's like always been a something, as you know, an adaptation that I need to maintain and to keep that going into, you know, as I get older, especially. Right?
Well, I feel like people are always finding like different ways to ask us questions about cardio because
they want it so bad, right?
And I feel like
there's nothing wrong with doing it.
No, exactly. This is what I want to state is that listen, none of us here, and I joke about saying, you know, no cardio, or I don't do cardio. Team no sweat. Yeah. I'm allergic to it. Blah 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 blah. At the end of the day, like if it's something you enjoy and you love and it helps you stay in shape and healthy, I'm not knocking that on somebody. What I'm talking to is our experience and all the people that we've trained, and I'm looking at as a whole the relationship that most people have with cardio and training that way is not a healthy one, and they don't fully understand, one, how to use it properly, and then two, how to really maximize it for their purpose and their goals.
It's not your fat burning go-to.
Yeah, exactly. It's, and you know, when it's, if your goal is to, you know, burn fat, stay in shape, there's a much better way about it and a better strategy if that's the case. And I'm more in the like, okay, let me show you and teach you that, and then you can play with it how you want. But if you're somebody who really enjoys just getting on a treadmill and running or taking off for a run and that's your thing and you don't have a lot of imbalances and it's not causing pain in your body to do that, then by all means, fucking run. Yeah, here's
I made this statement on another podcast, and I want to say it again because I want to hammer it home, okay? Every extra amount or all the extra time that you devote to cardio that's above and beyond improving your health, just cardiovascular health. So now I'm pushing my cardio. I'm pushing it a little bit. Every single bit of that is telling your body to become more efficient with activity and calories, aka slow down your metabolism. Mm-hmm. So the more cardio you apply that's beyond just your overall health, which you don't need much for overall health, the more you apply, the more your body is going to try to become more efficient,
right,
by slowing its metabolism down. So if you're 6 days a week, you know, 45 minutes of cardio, an hour of cardio a day person, you are telling your body very loudly, hey man, slow down your metabolism, become more efficient because you're burning all these calories manually so that I can become better at doing the 60 minutes of cardio every single day. And that's, you know, again, if you just love doing it, go for it. It's great. There's health benefits to moving all the time also. Mm-hmm. But if you won't, you don't, you know, you may find yourself in a situation where now you're stuck having to do that. And you, as soon as you, you know, you go on a vacation for 2 weeks, you don't stop doing that cardio and boom, you gain a bunch of weight because your metabolism has adapted in that direction. So that's really why, one of the main reasons why resistance training, why we think it's so superior, because the problems with the modern lifestyle have to do with overconsumption and not burning enough calories. And resistance training keeps your metabolism fast, or at least tells your body it's okay to burn more calories because we need muscle. So it just directly combats modern health problems. Cardio, definitely a part of health, definitely good for you, but you overdo it and you're kind of pushing, putting yourself down.
I mean,
hole.
You get more than enough when you get through phase four of MAPS Green for sure. I mean, and then the end of the question was, how would we incorporate this into MAPS program? This is what I would do. If I had all the MAPS programs, which is a year's worth of personal training, all programmed and lined out for me, and it's ideal for you to cycle through all of them, right? If we're looking for overall health, being in shape, performance, everything, just it's overall, there. It's there, right? That's do not deviate, follow it from point A, point B, all the way through with whatever little modifications that you like to do for exercises, things here and there. But for the most part, you're sticking to it to a T. And then I'm going to use my cardio based off of the events throughout the year. So let's say, guess what? In 4 weeks, I'm going to Vegas. So you know what? I'm going to add some cardio into my life for the next 4 weeks. And I'm going to do it strategically. So I'm not going to go balls to the wall the first week.
Yep.
I'm going to do 2 or 3 days of the week. I'm going to add some cardio in there in addition to everything else I was already doing. And then the next week, I'm going to add a little bit more and then maybe pick up my intensity the next week after that. Maybe add a little bit more and intensity the week after that. And then guess what? I'm there. Now I'm in Vegas and I'm in the best shape. And because I added it like that, my body responded and it changed. And it got me in better shape just sticking to everything else that I was doing just by adding it to help lean me out or get me in shape like that. Or let's say I'm, you know, now it's October, the Spartan Championship races, and I'm into obstacle course racing. And I said, you know what? Fucking sign me up to obstacle course racing. I don't care to win. I just want to do it with my buddies. I still care more about my muscle building program I'm going through right now. I'm going to incorporate a cardio program to help, you know, train me for getting ready for that, which is I'm going to over probably a 9 week or so intermittently
build up your conditioning. Yeah, it's all scheduled out. And I think it's great to have that, you know, applied to your programming as long as there's a specific goal in mind and you have a healthy mentality towards it. Like you're phasing it in and you're, you know, you just really like to include, you know, having that sort of what a lot of people call in shape kind of feeling, right? Because you feel like you can endure, you know, some of these workouts even better and you just have more stamina. But, you know, that's up to you. You know, that's something that, you know, it's a feel thing, but definitely it's not the fat burning mechanism. It's not the, you know, the go-to, like I have to accomplish, you know, my treadmill work every single day. Like that's a mentality that we're trying to combat with our message.
Quick commercial break. Hey, people ask us all the time how they can support Mind Pump. Here's what you can do. You can go to www.brain.fm/mindpump and get 20% off Brain FM for meditation or focus. You can also go to audibletrial.com/mindpump and get a 30-day trial plus one free audio book. Lastly, you can go to getnatureblend.com/mindpump and you will get a discount on Ben Greenfield's CBD product.
Next question is from Acom. What advice would you give a very busy college student who can't find time to work out and eat healthy?
Oh, I love this question. I wish you could see the face I was making when I heard that question.
But you're still eating though, right?
So yeah. So, you know, I get to see what your Instagram page looks like. And you have, let's see, 1,000 followers and tons of time spent posting selfies. You know, the average the average person, especially in this age group, spends hours a day on social media. Hours a day. This, you know, when I hear people say to me,
the average is 2.5 to 4 hours.
When I hear people say to me, like, I don't have
each day?
I don't have time.
2.5 to 4 hours
every
day.
That is every single day.
Such a waste.
On average.
What a waste.
When I hear people say I don't have the time to like work out and eat healthy, I've been in fitness for 20 years. I've never met anybody ever who legit does not have time to make you know, to place health as a priority. And again, it's not about finding time; it's about making time. You can make time. Busy college student, you have more time. Typically, you have more available time to you now than you will when you're 35, married with kids and working. I'm going to tell you that right now. Well, if you find it hard to fucking work out and eat right now, it ain't going to happen.
Here's what I, okay, and Sal's beating you up. It's probably going to sound like I'm beating you up here too. So, but I don't mean to.
You're going to be the nice guy.
You
can't do it.
I have trained.
He thought about it and then he's like, nah, you know. I got to go back to my comfort zone. You know?
I've trained a lot of 20 to 25 year old cute college girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. It happens to be my wheelhouse.
Law of attraction. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah.
So
is that what it says on your website?
That's what it says.
Specializing in 20 to 25 year old
college 20 girl. To 25 year old sorority girls.
Cute.
Yeah. Primarily cheerleader.
So I mean, I'm assuming she's somewhere in that age. She's a very pretty girl, and she's in pretty good shape already. And this is the conversation that I normally have with. It's along the lines of where Sal was just going right now. Is that, listen, we all, if you have pretty good genetics and you're cute, you can get by all the way till about 26 years old. So and
science
at that, there's a lot of science.
The
there.
Pin just dropped.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. From 20 to 20, because you have good genetics, because you're pretty, you're good looking, you can drink on weekends, you can occasionally go for a run or exercise every now and then, or dance a lot at the club, like all these things burn.
Just do Pilates like once.
You and know. You can maintain a decent physique where you have no problem attracting the opposite sex whatsoever, and you're having a good time, and you know you should probably work out because everyone's telling you that, and you like this Mind Pump podcast, these guys tell you to work out. But it's not really a priority. So, which is, that's fine because to each their own. I mean, if college time, party, have fun is the priority and that's all you care about, that's okay. But if you're asking a question on here and you really want to get in shape and you want to eat healthy and you want to do, then you'll fucking do it and you'll make it a priority. And it's okay if you do and it's okay if you don't. But I will tell you this, that, and this will happen, if you do not learn and you don't put like some practice or put some sort of regimen together on what it takes to get you in whatever the best shape of your life looks like, and you don't know what it takes, and you've, because you've never put yourself through that, and you don't start exploring that until you get to the age that Sal's saying, which is, this is very common. I've dealt with hundreds of these where, you know, a woman hires me at 32 to 35 years old. And she's been married, and she's had three kids now.
I've had a lot of those.
And now,
yeah, that's your wheelhouse.
And now she is.
I get the gilfs.
Now she's finally starting to take time for herself, and that's literally what they say. They say that, like, you know, I'm married and kids, and you know, finally I want to make time for myself. And here I am to hire you. My job helping her out is way harder than helping somebody out who has learned all this, has put themselves in good shape, and has done this before in their early 20s. So they get it, they know what it takes, and they know what they need to do for their body, than somebody who has hammered their body, let it go to shit because they're eating like shit. They're drinking, partying, and then they've let it, because that shit's compounding.
I'll tell you,
it gets 10 times harder, like what Sal was saying.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Maybe she has the misperception that you need to work out 7 days a week for an hour and a half. Because sometimes people say I don't have time, and I think in their mind they think they need to have like they need to work out every day and just live this lifestyle.
Yeah,
that does sound like a lot, right? You don't actually. You don't need to do all that. A few days a week is all you need. Here's what I'm gonna do, because I was mean to you earlier. So what I'm gonna do, if you listen to this episode, DM me and I'll hook you up with Maps Anywhere. Maps Anywhere, we designed to be with you do the whole program without any equipment. You don't need to go to a gym. You can do it in your dorm room. You can do it wherever. It's two foundational workouts a week. And then there's AM sessions that you can throw in whenever you want. You'll get phenomenal results on it. And it's not going to require hours and hours and hours of dedicated working out. It's just expertly programmed, and you just that's it. I'll hook you up. So just DM me and that's it. Cause that program is literally the one that we designed specifically for people who, you know, legitimately are like, look, it's hard for me to drive to the gym, or I can't drive to the gym because I got to take care of this, or, and it's like, here you go, here's a program that is going to give
it's
you
gonna maximize your efficiency and structure it in a way where if time is an issue, you know, we can get more effective, you know, with what kind of time we have to give. So if you can't really necessarily drop things in replacement of it, let's just get, you know, more effective with what you're doing.
That's it. And for me personally, like I have a very, very busy life and I schedule my workout first thing in the morning. I just do it that way. And it ain't my favorite time to work out.
It's just not a priority. When like I said, I've had this conversation so many times. It's like, it's just not a priority right now. Yeah. It's, and I get it. It's you're 20 to 25 years old. You're going to college.
But like they know that you should be eating better, right?
Right? Because like people are saying it, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, but it's, and the unfortunate part, and you want to get real deep here, this is where, you know, we talk about your relationship with yourself and the difference between self-image and body image. Like, you know, this is a lot of times if you don't figure all that piece out and then you wait until you feel disgusted about your body or you're unhappy or whatever it may be, this is like a snowball effect of like this emotional roller coaster that becomes this huge task for me, the trainer, to help fix all that because you've done all this emotional damage beating yourself up over years because you didn't take care of it when you knew you should have. So, you know, learn it, figure it out right now for yourself, whether you apply it all the time or not, that's up to you. But, you know, you take someone like yourself, and I would challenge you to give 3 months of your life of following, you know, a program right, eating correctly, follow a regimen, make a priority for it. Doesn't have to be overwhelming, like Sal saying, 2 days, maybe 3 days a week, follow it, stick to it. And then when, and then after that, like, then it's up to you when you implement it, how much of it you do and how much you enjoy yourself. I think that that will pay off so big for you down the road.
The wizard has spoken. Check this out. We have videos that we post every single day on YouTube. Just look up Mind Pump TV. It's our YouTube channel, and it's fucking awesome.
It's epic.
You can also get 30 days of coaching from me, Adam, and Justin for free. Just go to mindpumpmedia.com and register your name.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.